Dear brothers and sisters, masters have been coming from time to time just to guide the child humanity back to God. When they come, they are very good observers. They see that everybody is unhappy. Guru Nanak says, I see all are unhappy. Wherever you cast your sight, you see all are unhappy. Then Swamiji came up, he also says, oh soul, I see you are unhappy. First thing to be considered is, when the masters come, they don't look to us from the labels we are carrying on our bodies to show in which school of thought we are joined to know God. They simply address, O man or O soul. Kabir also the same thing, ever since a man is born, I have never seen any man happy. And the Quran, the Mohammedan scripture also say, it is the home of distress. Tutsi Sahib, a great saint, it tells us, all are unhappy, some physically, some want of money, some unaccountably onslaught in the mind. So they all observe like that. The question remains, master come. They go into the matter, what is the cause of their unhappiness? They solve the mystery of life. And they came to the conclusion, it is all due to the fact that we are ignorant of what man is, what you are, what is your connection with your body, and all around. They say, solve this mystery of life, then find out where the shoe pinches, why we are unhappy. So they gave out all masters that they came from. They came from the east or the west, all gave out the same thing. Greek philosophers, they came up and they said, man knows thyself, of course, in their own Greek language. Gnothi theotom. All Latin philosophers also say the same thing in Latin language. Gnothi tiphon. All Persian philosophers, this is the ultimate goal of all knowledge, is to know oneself. He says, we are man. Man has three aspects. It has got body, it has got intellect, and it is conscious entity. So we have known so much about the man body, about our intellect, or nothing about our own self. We do know about ourselves only that much, what we have read in scriptures. So knowing oneself is the start, basic thing, whereafter we can know God. Because God cannot be known by the outgoing faculties, or mind, or intellect. God alone can be known by soul, which is of the same essence as that of God. God is all consciousness. Our soul is the top of the ocean of all consciousness. So like knows the like. Generally what we see, we know at the level of our feelings, are drawing inferences. And both of them are subject to error. Seeing is above all. So I can see that it's purely a matter of self-analysis. By rising above body consciousness, who we are and what we are. We say it is our body, it is our outgoing faculties. We can put out, if I say my spectacle, we can put it out, my watch, we can put it out, my coat, we can put it out. But can you put off our body too? We say it is my body. So masters come up to give us a demonstration of that, really how to rise up body consciousness. So you know the outward expression of the soul is called attention. So our attention is identified with the body, with the outgoing faculties, in the outward world, so much so that we have forgotten ourselves. So to say, our soul is under the control of mind, mind is the control of the outgoing faculties, and outgoing faculties are driven like anything by the outside enjoyments. So we are identified with themselves so much so that we have forgotten ourselves. Now you find, it is we who live in the whole body. It is we from which these outgoing faculties take strength to work. But pity is the whole thing topsy-turvy. Horse had to run, take away the carriage, and carriage is put before the horse. This thing, I think you might have noticed in your daily life, when one man is sitting in some absorbed thought, somebody calls you once, twice, thrice, you do not reply, he comes up to you, asks, dear friend, I have called you so many times, why don't you reply? He says, my attention was absorbed somewhere else. So long the attention is not with the ears don't work. Similarly, sometimes you will find that your eyes are open and you are sitting in a very absorbed state. Somebody passes by you and do not understand, do not recognize who has come and who has gone. Newton was solving a mathematical problem by your old side, and a band passed by him while playing. Later on, another man came up and inquired, Newton, as any band has passed by this place? He said, I don't know. Now you'll find these outgoing faculties take strength from us. Unless our attention is theirs, they don't work. So how to this demonstration can be had? How to know oneself by practical self-analysis at the feet of a master? So they gave us a demonstration, really how to rise above body consciousness. We see for our own selves. Then how can we be happy? Because the attention is absorbed all outside. When it is withdrawn from outside, practically, this house is a wonderful house we live in, which has got so many holes, so many apertures, two of the eyes, two of the nostrils, two of the ears, and mouth, and two underneath. So there are so many holes, doors in the man body, opening outside, but we do not run away out of it. So our body works as long as we are in the body, and we are in the body as long as we are controlled in the body by some power. That power is one that the maker of all creation and controller of all creation and permeating all creation. That very power also keeps us in the body. So when we rise, we above body consciousness by withdrawing our attention from all outside and from the body below, the demonstration of which is given by Master, adapt in that way, then you know I am not the body. I am not the outgoing faculties. I am not the intellect. He says, these take things from me. I am the one living the whole body. When you see that, then you can see that power working overhead. The highest aim of a man's body is to know God. Who can know God? We. Who are we? We are conscious entities. When we are analyzed from all outside, outgoing faculties, mind and intellect, rise above it, we see that power is working. So there was an atheist. In his home he had got a very big hall, and that one motto was written, God is nowhere. He was dying, he was at death bed. He was an atheist. And the child came up, he began to read, G-O-D, God, I-S is, N-O-W, now, H-E-R-E, here. God is now here. And the dying man said, yes, my child, there's some power that is controlling us. So if we know God, we must know ourselves. Because it is the conscious entity, we can know the all consciousness. And there's another way. You rise to body consciousness just as a dying man leaves the body and come to the back of the eyes when his eyes are upturned. If you know how to rise there while alive, you'll see that power. So man is the highest in all creation. It is next to God. Angels are asked to bow down before the man body. Even the gods and goddesses, if they like to meet God, know God, they have to take the body of man. So it is the highest in all creation. All Upanishads are the same when the souls of the rishis return after enjoying the bliss of the higher planes, and they chose the man body to enter, because in man body alone can man know reach God and no other. In gods and goddesses are cannot reach him unless they take the man body. So man has got three aspects, as I submitted before. It has got man body, it has got intellect, and it is conscious entity, a draw pollution of all consciousness. So we have made progress, advancement wonderfully, physically too. We know how the physical body can be maintained, how the diseases arise, how those can be set right. There were so many patches at our command. Oldest is the Ayurvedic, then the Yunani system, then the allopathic, homeopathic, naturopathic, electronic treatments. So many systems are coming. Intellectually we have also advanced very wonderfully, that is before you. We can hear and see man speaking at a distance, thousands of miles, through radio. What he is speaking and who is speaking through television. We have visited the moon, and we are visiting other planets also. We can go around the world in hours. With all these advancements, we are not happy. That's the reason. So Master tells us, you can be happy if you rise above body consciousness, analyze yourself from mind and outgoing faculties, know yourself, when you know yourself, like knows the like. You'll find that power within you, your body. So Guru Nanak gave the same thing. He says all world is unhappy if he knows himself, withdraws himself from all outside and from the body below, then he comes in contact with that controlling power, God into special power, which is called Nam or word. Only such a soul can be happy. Because that is the bread of life and water of life. We have given food to the body, we have become physically strong. We have given food to the intellect, we have gone intellectually strong. With all these, we have inventions of bombs, neurotic bombs, hydrogen bombs. The world is afraid. Anytime this war begins, the world will come to an end. But had we known ourselves first, then all these things should have gone, then what would have found? That we are of the same essence as that of God. We are drops of the ocean of all consciousness. As such, we are all brothers and sisters in God. So all these atomic powers, this and that thing would have gone to help mankind. All this is due to what? Because we have done little or nothing to know ourselves. And moreover, you'll find, after this man body is given to us temporarily, it won't last long. This is the first companion that comes along with us into the world. But when we leave the world, this does not go along with us. So you discover, oh, the one man who rises above body consciousness, his angle of vision is changed. You know, Christ did say, it is easy for a camel to pass to the eye of a needle than a rich man with so much of possession expended in thought, he cannot, no hope for him. So if your angle of vision is changed, you would have the right perspective of the right values of these things. If a man of millions or thousands or hundreds are nothing, they leave everything here. To earn money is not a bad thing, but earn it with honest means. Help yourself and help others. Man is one who is of help to others too. Animals only of help to themselves. Look to the face of the animal, it is like that. Facing upwards. If it remains all too earthly, no strange. God is man made face upward. So they want, all masters want it, that man should prove the true Son of God. We are all brothers and sisters of God. In that case, he needs in the world will be absent. Kingdom of God will come to our on earth. Your conscious entities, as man you will find, we are one. Man is born with the same privilege from God. Born the same way, outer construction the same, two eyes, two hands, two feet, two ears, two nostrils. Inner construction also the same. All have got stomach, lungs, intellect. So as a man, we are one. As soul, we are drops of the ocean of all consciousness. We are all brothers and sisters and are one. As such, we are all brothers and sisters in God, we are already one. And whom we worship, called by so many names, that is also the same. The archers may be many, but the target is the same. You remain in any social body, in any religion. All pray to God. Oh God, although we have not seen, this is the natural instinct with an each body, you know, some power is there. So it is the third aspect about which we know little or nothing. That is why all this happiness is unhappiness due to. Then the Master tells us, look here, your conscious entity. You are God in spirit and you are spirit in man. As spirit is eternal, and why you fear that you will die? So the body whom we worship is the same. This is the angle of union is changed like that. So as such you will find the world will be all happy. The world is, this is the first self-evident fact we have taken in. Second self-evident fact is, the world is not our home, nor this body which we are living in. Our true home is the house of our Father. We are conscious entities. Everything goes to its original source, light a candle. The flame will go up, even to upward, even then the flame will go up. But the source of light, sun, is upward. You throw a cloud of earth very high in the heavens, again that will return to earth, because the source is earth below. So our soul is just controlled by these things, and identified under being under the control of mind, which is material, we are always being led to the earthly things. So they tell us, this man body is not your permanent home, not this world. Your real home is above all heavens. It is that place which is the house of our Father. So naturally, those who come to that awakening, their angle of vision is changed. They consider self to be just stuck fast in the earth, whereas his true home is above all heaven. So body is the first companion, as I have told you, which came along with us when entering the world, whether king or the subject, rich or the poor, learned or the unlearned, all have to leave the body. In the saints, in the incarnation, they took body and left the scene, and we have also to leave the world someday. So it is a wonderful house we live in. This works, as I submitted already, it works only so long as we are body, and we are in the body so long as some power is controlling us in the body. So this is the high time. Man body is the golden opportunity that we have got. Why? Because in this man body only we can know God, and in no other body. All scriptures speak very highly about it, and they tell us that derive the full body as long as you are in the body. Kabir says, keep the body as long as you can. Rishi told, well, keep it at least up to 100 years. Once this is passes out of our hand, we will go where we are attached. If you are attached to the world, naturally you come round and round to the earth. If, while in man body, we know ourselves and have a contact with all consciousness within, naturally we will go after death to the tomb of the Father. So all scriptures tell us this is man body in which God is manifested, can be manifested. This is held by very good fortune. It is your turn to meet God. So man, the greatness lies in the fact that he knows God. He can know God. If he has not known God, why brags so much, I am the head of all creation? So the highest thing that we have to find is to know God. So body is the true temple of God. in which living, in which the light of God is manifest. Outer temples were made out of the man body, bundle of man body. All masters who came, they said, the two masks is the man body. God does not reside in temples made by human hands, but He does live in body, in the house which He has built in the womb of the mother. That's the man body. So outer places of worship, whether they are temples of the Hindus, they are dome-shaped, whether they are mosques, forehead-like shaped, whether they are churches, long, nose-shaped, they are the two symbols of God are kept. And God wanted, I one and wish to be many. There was vibration, and vibration results in two things, light and sound. So God is light, and God is nada. God is the music of the spheres. So these outer temples are made just to let the beginners know that such like guide and such like light and such like sound of God, voice of God is reverberating within your own man body. The body in which you live, that is the true temple of God. Outer temples were only made to let those understand, those are new, what is what. So the same light you have got in the churches, the same light is lit in the temples, the same light is lit in the mosques. So these are only models made, which is the better, best of all. So Master tells us that man body is the best of all in which the light of God is imparted. So I mean the idea of all religions at our hand is what? A Sikh is he who sees the full effulgence of light within him. He is called a Khalsa. A Hindu is one who, instead of lighting outside, he lights the within, sees the light within. A Mohammedan one who sees the light of God. And a Christian also one who sees the light of God. Ultimate goal is the same. That school is better in which many students come up successful. Which school is better? Which has got high, very grand buildings, very good playing ground, very good dresses of the students. Where no student passes, that gets a higher degree. The watch is there, made of gold, studded with rubies. And it does not give time then. So man body, that religion, that school of thought is the best in which that turns out so many successful students who see the light of God. But who can make us see that light of God? That's the question. Masters always say that light is within you. The body is the temple in which the light of God is effulgent. Why, man, you are going round and round outside. If you want to find him, tap inside. That is what Emerson says. So for that reason, it is the Master's, Christ said, I have come to make people see who do not see. Take heed that the light which is within you is not darkness. We are all children of light, enveloped by so many sheets. You know how to take off these sheets, you see the light is already there. So for that reason, that is there, why can't we see? Master says there is light within. The reason is, because in contact with mind and matter, soul is going round and round, because wherever it attaches it to go there. And further, the law of karma, cause and effect, as you sow, so shall you reap. That goes on in operation. If you sow a good seed, you will reap good fruit. If you sow a bad seed, then the result will be bad.
Hello, and welcome to the Satsang for Master Kripal Singh. The recording you just heard was the first half of an evening talk Master gave in San Francisco on November the 12th, 1972. Our reader this evening is Rudy Cascone. Hi, Rudy.
Hello, David. Thank you very much. Today's reading is from Master's talk, Out of Bondage, on January 1970 Satsang Desh, page 11, starting on near the bottom of the page. And Master begins by saying, "Now the body is changing, and the world is changing at the same minutely slow speed. Having decided that we are the body, we consider that this is the truth and nothing is changing. What a great forgetfulness. The literate and illiterate, the rich, the poor, are all affected alike. And for example, a boat containing a number of people is drifting on the river. The speed of the boat and the water are both the same. One man gets out and stands on the shore. He shouts, 'Oh, brothers, come out quickly, for the boat is drifting away.' The people gaze at the water and at the boat and think they are at a standstill. So they shout back, 'What nonsense are you saying? We are not moving at all. If only we could come out of the worldly boat and see that in truth we are drifting away.' The Master tells us, 'You are building castles out of sand, for they have seen the truth and we only draw inferences. Those who have seen continue to admonish with such words, "You are the soul, a part of God who is residing within you. Through the illusion of body, you also became attached to material objects. And the result is that wherever your attention is, so you become that. You are under the influence of mind, and the senses are feeding the senses through the outgoing faculties. And the more you feed them, the harder the mind will work and the more strength it will get. As the mind is surrounding the soul must take the consequences and suffer. It is true that the soul never dies, but because it is tied to the mind, it has to be responsible. This knot has to be untied, and then it will know who it truly is. This human being is really both attention and awakened attention. Outward expression of soul is called surat, attention, or dhyan. There is no doubt that we have got this human form through very high destiny. In this form, we can do great work, and in no other form. What is that great work? To realize God. We know so much about the body, how to keep it healthy, and how it becomes sick. And there are many kinds of doctors attending to it. The Ayurvedic practice is the oldest. And then the Unani came. And after that, the allopathic system, homeopathic, electric and radiation treatments, naturopathy, etc. On how to keep the body fit, our knowledge is vast. Intellectually, we have also advanced with amazing strides. A dog has circled the world in one quarter of an hour. Across thousands of miles, we can hear and see things through radio and television. This is all due to the intellect. In the olden days, when the blind king Dhritarashtra could not see the progress on the battlefield during the Mahabharata war, Sanjay, an advisor, related the proceedings to the king in his own palace, many miles away. This proves that there were radio and television in those times, but all that advanced science was destroyed in that great battle. And the process of learning had to begin again. Day by day, the world is becoming smaller through the accomplishments of the intellect. A plane has been designed recently which can reputedly travel from America to India in a few hours. You can have breakfast in America and dine in India. And the question is, however, has all this brought us any happiness? Most definitely not. And the reason? The third part of us, the soul, is extremely weak. We are the true picture of consciousness. But having lost our identity and forgetfulness, we have become one with the body and regard all things from this level. The result is attachment. This human form is also known as an action ground. And Christ said, "As ye sow, so shall ye reap." All masters have said the same thing in their various languages. Guru Nanak said, "This body is the field of tomorrow. Whatever you sow, you will have to harvest yourself." Tulsi Sahib said, "You will have to taste the fruit of your actions in whichever way you plant them." Those who have not solved the riddle have to repeat the same thing again and again. For truth is one. All spiritual aspirants should think of this life as a field and should sow carefully what they desire to harvest. As I mentioned at first, there is no special caste or creed here. We have taken the first step. That is, we have entered a school. I congratulate you for that. And no matter what thought has led you to this step forward to realize God, you should now do your best to succeed. For good reason, this ashram is called Rohani Satsang, which means a spiritual school. There is no need to change anything, either religion, name, outer appearances, etc. Having taken the first step, the second should be to see the true doer, so that you may become action-free. Good actions would no doubt bring their reward, but you will still be a prisoner. Perhaps some will go into Class A prison, and some Class B, and some Class C. And some might get the pleasures of this world, and some the pleasures of the other world. Heaven and hell will come again and again, for this circle cannot be broken unless one gets out of the illusion. A woman saint, Sasho Bai, said that all living species of the land, sea, and air are under the law of karma. Just look at the lower expressions of life, for instance, the dog. Some dogs are starving without even a piece of bread, and some are looked after like princes, with two or more servants to care for them. See the life of a camel. His nose is pierced and a rope drawn through it with which to control him. In the desert, he is pulled from place to place, be it very hot or very cold, and has to suffer all this. Take the donkey. who has so much weight loaded upon his back and is driven around by the stick. And when he gets tired, he is even then pulled and made to work. So the whole world is in a sorrowful state all through the results of karmas. The human form, because of the soul within it, is the highest in all creation and is accepted as the form next to God. It is next to God, a part of God. Having the same nature is itself a conscious entity. And yet with all this, it is full of misery. Having tied itself to the mind and passion, the passions and the attachments are the senses dragging it from one place to the other. The pleasures of the world control the senses. The senses control the mind, and the mind controls the intellect. This process is called kam, passionate desires for other appetites. Kam also means work, and if we put this desire or drive into reverse and become engaged in the opposite type of work, then we will achieve the true peace of being. A true master always prays, O Lord, keep my intellect in your control. At present, the whole system is wrong. For the horse should have been pulling the cart, but instead the cart is in front. The soul should be giving strength to the mind as and how it wishes. But the mind, intellect, and senses are stealing the strength. And with the soul as a helpless slave to them, it is all wrong. That is why masters have advised to know thyself, for it is the only way to cut the evil from the root. Have you been able to control your senses and make them do whatever you wish, stopping their action whenever you desire? Have you reached that stage? A certain piece of machinery has an electrical motor that is connected to the powerhouse. There are many sections comprising this machine, and one can switch off any section in a second. Similarly, we should be in control of our being and able to switch off our whole machinery if we wish. Sometimes with our eyes open we do not see, and with our ears open we do not hear. Many people have experienced this. We may be sitting deep in thought and someone calls once, twice, three times, but we do not hear a word. At last, when the person says, I have been shouting at you, why do you not hear me? The reply would be something like, my attention was engaged somewhere else. So this attention works wherever it connects itself. And if the attention is not in the ears, we will not hear a sound. The ears may belong to us, but if we do not give life to them, they are as dead. Sometimes our eyes are open and someone passes in front of us, but we do not see them. A person can sit down beside us and after a while get up and leave. We would not even know they have been there. Anything might have happened behind our back, but we cannot see it because our attention is not there. Our eyes are not directed there. When we look in front of us with attention, we can see. This all indicates that we, as soul, are giving strength to everything. We can control ourselves if only we withdraw ourselves from the outgoing faculties, for the world is attractive only as long as our attention is on it. If we withdraw our attention and know what we are, we will then be able to see God within us. The overflowing pen of God writes our fate according to our present and past actions. So whatever seed we have sown will bear that kind of fruit. If we can see the God into expression power, that seed can be destroyed, even after sowing, by being conscious of the divine plan. There are many kinds of karmas or actions. One type is our everyday actions. That is the new seeds we are sowing. When we got this human form, it was through the prarabdha or fate karmas. Some people are poor, others rich, some are happy, and some unhappy. And all this is due to the prarabdha or destiny of each. There's also those karmas called sanchit, which are accounts of deeds in past lives upon lives, lying in store and hanging over our heads. It is said that when King Dhritarashtra was asked what he had done to be blind from birth, he stated that for 100 lives back he knew by yogic power that he had done nothing to cause such affliction. Then Lord Krishna gave him power by which he was able to see that in which 106 life back he had committed that action for which he was now paying with his blindness. This shows us that the load on our head is heavy with the karmas of life upon life. So we can be rid of these sanchit karmas only when we get a human form and succeed in seeing the reality within. Otherwise, the account will remain and we will continue to add to it. When the masters come, they wind up our karmas. And how do they do it? By drawing a line across the account and advising that in the future one should cease further transgressions. They advise the deer seekers to adopt the way of true living. Do not lie, cheat, or steal. Do not take anything by fraud or squeeze anyone's blood for self-gain. It is most important to be truthful. If you have read the account of the Mahabharata, and you will know that when the five Pandavas princes went to school, their teacher, Dronacharya, once gave them the lessons that they should speak and live the truth. The next day, four of the princes came to school, but the fifth, Yudhishthira, did not attend. And after 4 or 5 days of non-attendance, the teacher asked, why is he not coming? Word was sent to Yudhishthira, who sent back the reply, I am studying the lesson you gave me. After many days, he came to school and reported, I have learned this lesson about the truth. This is really the way to learn. They say that through his whole life, he never told a lie. The masters say that one should have true living and also lead a chaste life in thought, word, and deed. All human beings are the temples of God in which God resides. All are his own children. So we should never look down on anyone with hatred or dislike. Through their karma, some people are sitting in chairs while others run around to bring chairs for them. Very often, because a man is more learned or rich or in authority, it goes up like wine to his head, and he starts to look down on others. This should not happen. Masters also tell us that as God is residing in every human being, we should do selfless service towards each other. If someone is physically sick, look after them. If a person is starving or thirsty or has no clothes, then share with them whatever you possess yourself. Through thoughts, words, and actions, we should not be violent towards anyone. Thoughts are very potent, there is a story about King Akbar, who had a minister named Birbal. Once Birbal was telling the king that thoughts are very potent, and whatever one thinks will affect the other person. The king demanded that Birbal should prove this. So Birbal led the way, and they went out of the town. The king's head was uncovered at the time. When Birbal saw a man walking toward them, he said, "Your Majesty, think something about this man." The king did not utter a word, but in his mind he thought, "I would like to shoot him." When the man came near, the king said to him, "Speak truthfully, and you will be forgiven for whatever you say. But tell me, what were your thoughts when you saw me?" The man replied, "The truth is, Your Majesty, that when I saw your head, I felt like smashing it with my fist. This was the result of a thought. One should never regard anyone by thought and even by tongue. No wrong should be spoken against any person. No harm should be done through actions. If we really want to realize God, we should consider how unlikely it is that he would appear to us if we are harming his children. Which father would?" So when masters come, they do not disturb the Palabdha karmas, although in a way they do. They start giving food to the soul. To feed the physical form, we have to eat and drink. To strengthen the intellect, we read, write, and think. All these words are food for the intellect. The soul is fed only with the bread of life, which is experience of the beyond. With such food, the soul becomes very strong, and through unhappiness and sorrow may come. And though happiness and sorrow may come, it will not have so much effect. If there is a thorny road to travel and one puts on heavy boots, then one will not feel the thorns. Say there are 10 people, and they get beaten up physically. One of them is very weak, and after the slight beating, he collapses. The others admit they were beaten up, but did not feel it much. Similarly, if the soul is strong, happiness or unhappiness may come, but will not have any drastic effects. O Supreme Master, what is the use of calling you my teacher if my karmas have not been wiped out? A guru's work is to wind up the karmas. It is also said, what is the use of going to a lion for protection when even the howling of a jackal can frighten you? A guru's work is very important, such work that no one else can take over. Only a true guru can do it because God works through him, because his soul has become one with God, and he has become the mouthpiece of God. There is no difference between him and God. Perfect saints always show us a way to lead our lives so that we are freed from bondage, that we may never return again to this world. They make us wear strong shoes, that the thorns may not prick us on our life's journey. There are two kinds of masters who come. One is called a sant or saint, the other an avatar. Both work with the same power, just as electricity can give us both fire and ice, even though the source remains the same. The avatar explains, whenever there is some more sin in the world and righteous living is gone, then I appear. So you can see the working of that power is different. They are not bound by karmas, but they come only for a great purpose. That is why they advise that one should not meditate on the outer form of the master, but on the true form of the master, word made flesh. The avatar's work is such that they sometimes have to take a sword in hand to further their task of punishing the wicked and upholding the righteous. They must keep the world in proper balance. The saints say, "Whoever comes to me, I will contact him back to God." The difference between saints and avatars can be further illustrated by taking an emperor who has a viceroy ruling the affairs of one of his countries and a commander-in-chief over the army. Both these men have different ways of dealing with matters. The viceroy will never order anyone directly, but will say, "In the name of the emperor, I order you to do this," while the commander-in-chief will say, "I order you to fire." The latter knows that he's under the emperor, but is in complete control of the army, giving promotion and demotion, and will never allow anyone to go out of his jurisdiction. The viceroy never orders, but says that he is announcing the wishes of the emperor. Kabir Sahib says, "I know the truth, and I have come to tell you the wishes of my Lord." So avatars improve the conditions of the world by giving punishment and reward, and saints give salvation. There are many prisons in the world, and supposing a man visits one of them to give uplifting talks to the inmates, he notices the lack of good food there and makes arrangement for the prisoners' clothes and torn and ragged, and he kindly supplies large quantities of new clothing for their use. A third visitor finds that the prisoner's cells are dark and unventilated, and so he volunteers to remodel the buildings to provide better living quarters. All these things have vastly improved the life of the prisoners, but unfortunately they are still prisoners. Finally, another man comes and opens the gates of the prison, saying, "You are all free, I release you." Who do you think was the greatest benefactor out of all of these men? When true masters come, they release the soul from the wheel of births and deaths. A perfect master is not a small thing. He is the supreme power, because God himself is working in him. Though one can see that the voice is coming from his physical form, it is not he who is speaking, but God in him. Kabir Sahib says, "Leave this world and go to Satlok. That is your true home." Swamiji Maharaj says, your true home is in the imperishable place, but you have tied yourself to this earth, which is merely perishable matter." He continues, "Go to your own home. Why do you want to stay where you do not belong? We do not belong to this place. With great kismet or fortune, this body has been given us for just a few days. It is the highest form in all of the 8,400,000 species. During this life, we must unfold the truth within us and find some way of getting out of the body while living." Milana Ruby Sahib says that this human form is a prison, and we are all prisoners, and that the body is alive, but we are the life, and that we should make a hole in the top of the prison and climb out. He is referring to the 9 holes in the body, and the 10th that lies hidden in between, behind the 2 eyebrows, to where the soul withdraws at the time of death. These masters desire us to know that this is the only way out of the body to realize true bliss. Kabir says, "I have not seen anyone who has got a body who is happy." Again, the mendicants are unhappy. The whole world is full of unhappiness. The ascetic sorrow is double that of others. hopes, and ambitions. No one is without men. Only a saint who has conquered his mind is enjoying true peace and happiness. Guru Nanak similarly says, we are all true students in one class or another, but we cannot get that bliss without conquering the mind. How can we win the mind around to surrender itself? This is a thing that we have to understand fully before we can proceed further on the spiritual path. The mind is a lover of attractive, delicious things. Guru Nanak explains this by saying, O man, you are eating a sweetmeat which is coated with sugar, but is bitterly poisonous inside. The consequences are very bad, and we come again and again to this world. The real happiness is inside. The more we search for happiness, the more unhappy we become. We are all bliss. If we get any happiness at all here, it is because, for a short time, we place our attention upon a certain thing and are with that thing itself, which plainly indicates that the attention and the happiness lie within. If we separate ourselves from the mind and the senses, all these illusory things will lose their meaning. This separation, combined with the connection with the Lord within us, will bring true and permanent happiness. Our attention is on a small scale and insignificant things. And when these are taken from us, we become unhappy. Those who desire the permanent happiness will find it only at the feet of the Lord. Where is God? There is no place that is without him, but he is most near to us in our own temple of the human body. We are in it, and God is also. The true cause of our misery is that God is within, and we are scattered outwardly. Our very soul is a part of him, our own nature, but the soul of the mind is tied together. The poor soul does not know how to untie himself, and so more unhappiness results. The holy scriptures contain wise counsel on helping factors and hindrances given by those who have not only untied this knot, but have realized themselves and God. We can say that these scriptures are the past masters speaking through books. Their words are invaluable, but to understand them correctly, we have to approach a true spiritual master. For if the intellectual man reads something, he will draw inferences through his intellect. I am placing before you that everlasting happiness is within all human beings, but the attention is on things which are perishable. Through the great forgetfulness, we are entrapped in attachment and cannot find any way out. Such a heavy imprisonment. First the world and then this body. As I have related, we have to go out via the 10th door, and knowledge of which we do not possess. The beautiful soul has forgotten that God himself is sitting at the 10th door awaiting her. But the poor thing is frantically lost in the maze of the other 9 doors and cannot experience her Lord. This body is the truth, in truth, the real temple of the Lord. The outer temples have been made as copies of this human temple. And in those who we also light lamps and ring bells, they were made to remind us that the light is brightly shining within us, and he who lights this inner lamp while living becomes the one who sees the reality. That reality, we can say, is God, who has experienced himself. For the ultimate God, no one can see. He is nameless and formless, and is the one whom we must unite and become one. The God within is the God of all, Muslim, Hindu, Christian, etc. All human beings are one and the same. We may have labeled ourselves variously, but first we are human beings with the same soul and same caste as God above. That religion is the highest, into which more true devotees of God are born. But in truth, we are all children of God. All masters have said the same thing in their own languages. The Muslim fakirs have said it in their language, that all human beings have got such a close relationship with each other, just like different parts of one body, and all are born in the same way. When will man realize that to have this human form is a golden opportunity? For in this form and in no other form is it possible to know oneself and to know God. Well, thank you all for listening, and thank you, Master, for your words of wisdom and knowledge.
And thank you for reading for us, Rudy. There were 53 people at this evening's satsang. Thank you, Master, for providing this for us, and thank you, everyone, for listening.
You have been just given this man's body, and by the grace of God, to enable you to go back to your home. But remain here, pay off your debts, gives and takes, you see, and find your way back to God.